Punch I say is better than me. Tell my man shut up.
Shut up.
Mention my name in your tweets. I rule by shut up.
Shut up.
How can you be better than me? Shut up.
Shut up.
Best in the scene. Tell my man.
The hype. Some say smash. Some say hit. Either way, it's gonna be lit. Only on 98.4 Capital FM.
You have a Dr. Ule Keita and one Helen, and they are repping for Greenpeace Africa, that is letting us all know about International Zero Waste Day. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
How are you doing?
Good.
A little overwhelmed?
Not quite.
Okay, good. Just making sure. So tell me a little bit about Greenpeace Africa and everything that that stands for.
So Greenpeace Africa is an environmental movement, a movement that brings together communities, different stakeholders on board, people who are working to see that there is environmental justice across the continent, that is across Africa. We work with different communities. We are in different parts of the continent. Mm-hmm. To be specifically, we have offices in South Africa, Kenya, Cameroon, Senegal, and Democratic Republic of Congo.
Okay, awesome.
Yes, and mm-hmm. A lot of these different countries work on different environmental issues. We work together with governments to ensure that we have a safe planet for our children, our children's children. By so doing, we are saying that we are here to work for issues that affect Africans, issues that are pertinent and speak to the Africans in the African continent.
I love that so much. And you know what? The world is a global community now, right? So if it helps Africans and posterity, that means that it has a ripple effect, right? It will go above and beyond and touch other people and other lives in different continents and different parts of the world. So that's amazing. Do you get to work with other places in the world as Greenpeace Africa?
Yes, as a global organization, we have over 40 national regional offices, which we usually call NROs. So our mother office, if I may call it that, is that Greenpeace International is based from Netherlands. So we have so many other countries. We all over the countries, and a lot of different issues that we work on, from, you know, energy issues such as nuclear. We have other offices who are dealing with a lot of issues to do with overfishing and fossil fuels, which is really big across, you know, different areas. We also have other offices that are, including the African office, that are dealing with anti-plastic pollution and plastic waste. So we are working with not just here in Africa, but different areas across the world on different issues, all environmental issues.
Right. Intersectional. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that your mothership, if you will, comes from, or rather is stationed in the Netherlands. Because today, I reposted a beautiful tweet about an engineering of an aqueduct in the Netherlands that also incorporates a highway. And it's just so it's like really gorgeous and amazing how Europe in particular and places like in Northern Europe, like the Netherlands, are paying attention to nature, mm-hmm. and making sure that in globalization and in being a global community and in modernization, understanding that we need these things, they're still not neglecting the importance that is Mother Nature, because we can't live without Mother Nature.
Sure.
I mean, I know we have very many futuristic shows and movies, guys, but I don't know how practical it would be. So, Helen and Dr. Ule, if you would, could you kindly let us know what you do within Greenpeace Africa?
Sure. So
this is Dr. Ule now.
Yes.
Dr. Ule Keita.
Yes, uh-huh. I just joined Greenpeace Africa a month ago. So
yes.
I'm the new kid on the block.
Okay.
But it's very exciting time for Greenpeace in Africa, because we are really working to ground African consciousness in the way we do environmental protection, whether it's on food security, forest work, plastic, fishing, anything that has to do with the environment and the people. We're really excited that we now will have the African voices. Really, our campaigns are going to be grounded on African traditions and cultures and voices. And this is really, really exciting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And Greenpeace has been advocating and campaigning on the continent for the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. And we are just now starting our new strategic plan, which is forward-looking, which is about building this movement of young people around the climate.
Climate change is real.
And it's so huge on the continent. The impact of climate change is huge.
It is.
And
we're going from extreme droughts. I know you're an executive director, you know. And she says the new kid on the block, but she is the executive director now of Greenpeace Africa. It's a big title. But you know, just in case, you know, you're wondering, guys, who are listening, we're going from extreme, heavier, longer droughts, mm-hmm. And then kind of getting tossed into rain,
yeah.
and rain that's almost, you know, unmanageable,
yeah.
Right? These El Niños and things like that. So, I mean, it's not by accident. It's not by accident that either, you know, it's getting too cold,
yeah.
And colder in some parts or in quote-unquote normal parts, mm-hmm. but maybe for too long.
Mm-hmm.
Or that it just feels like things are off, you know, like October, November are supposed to be our short rains here in Kenya. It sometimes feel like they're arriving later and so on and so forth. So it's you guys who are here to educate us on that. So that's very exciting, Dr. Ule. Helen, your part within Greenpeace Africa, Tafadhali.
So we want to speak first on the extreme weather events that you've been alluding to.
Yes, that I've just touched upon.
Yes, I think over the last maybe 10, 15 years, these events have been increasing. I mean, it wasn't normal for Africa to experience typhoon and cyclones. And
right.
Now we have Freddy that, you know, has been ongoing in Malawi, and the droughts have been worse. The one that we've experienced in Kenya has been the worst in
yeah.
the last, you know, past 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what this is telling us is that something is wrong, and we need to act, and we need to act now, because if we don't, then things are going to get worse. And climate change is happening. It is real. The science has laid,
the foundation for it, for us to understand at least, and
yes.
even put it in layman terms so we can get that message to the world.
Exactly. But what is this that we are doing? And that this is where, Greenpeace comes in. We want to work with government to ensure that we are taking strong climate action, because our people, at the end of the day, are the ones who are bearing the brunt of this climate change. Women and children are the ones who are most affected by this climate change. So we are urging our government to take climate action, but we are telling them we are fully behind you as Greenpeace Africa. We want to support you. My executive director just said that we want to ground African consciousness in everything that we do, and we want to speak about things that our leaders as the African continent can do. I think there's need to be also coordination and collaboration within the continent, and I think even our president Ruto, I think just when he came on board, he was talking big on climate action and going, renewable way. I think those are the kind of people we want to see, and we want Africa to show that leadership. And what we are saying is they shouldn't be looking at fossil fuels because, fossil fuel will still put us in the dark. They will make us have this, more of these cyclones and typhoons and everything
else.
Helen,
I agree with you. I love your passion. We're going to take a break, guys. Stay tuned. Helen and Dr. Ule Keita are going to continue to tell us exactly what Greenpeace Africa stands for, what they stand for, and what International Day of Zero Waste is all about. So go ahead and wind to that. So I want you guys to tell me a little bit about what your titles mean in terms of helping Greenpeace Africa and getting the message out there.
Okay, so communication and story manager basically means I'm the one who's telling our audiences the story about Africa's people and the communities. Of course, a lot of the time we work with these communities and we encourage them to voice out their concerns, but I act as the link between some of our platforms with these communities. to showcase but also to amplify their voices, because we do not want to speak for Africans. We want Africans to speak themselves for themselves, simply because these people have the solutions. They know the problems, they understand the problems, but also they have the solution. So as Greenpeace Africa, we are coming to just, you know, be a bridge between the people, the communities, and also give a platform to some of these issues to be aired.
And maybe it's also a bit of a case of, you know, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, you know, teach a man to fish, he'll be able to feed for life, kind of thing. So if you're able to bridge that gap between what people want and what they need, then they can do something in a sustainable way that will be able to help them for ages to come, and also help the posterity that you spoke of earlier, right?
Precisely.
Awesome. And Dr. Keita, tell me a bit about being an executive director. For such, you also have a bit of an accent, so I'm wondering where you come from.
I'm from Mali.
Okay, which is amazing. West Africa. Yes, of course.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So basically, I'm the captain of the ship, uh-huh. The Greenpeace ship, steering the waves and getting to the destination we want Africa to be in terms of the environmental space. And so, of course, I lead, but I have a great team.
Right.
Basically, they're the ones, the guardians of this organization, doing wonderful work with the ideas, the innovations,
yeah.
All of the work that we're doing. It's because of the great team I have. So I'm just making sure that I lead them in the right direction so that we actually have impact on the continent.
I love that.
Yes.
You're the Joan of Arc.
Yes.
So I do want to ask about International Zero Waste Day, mm-hmm. because that's also why we're here, right? Obviously, Greenpeace Africa, you guys are letting us know about that, mm-hmm. because we may not know about that without you. And I think it's a very important message. So I would love you to let us know more about that message and why it's opportune for us to really start appreciating this day and celebrating it.
So the International Zero Waste Day is all about minimizing our waste, both as individuals, but also, you know, as people, as corporations, as governments.
Yes.
And maybe just to give you an example, a lot of the time when you travel, maybe in public transport, somebody drinks water from a bottle and just tosses it out of the window. And
nothing makes me sicker, by the way. And in New York, where I'm originally from, you will be fined out the wazoo if you're caught by a cop. Whenever I see that, it just... it makes me want to vomit. It literally turns my skin, so I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, and most of the time we don't think twice about where that waste will end up. And then the rains are here and the drainage is blocked and, you know, we
are. And then then we're crying.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So this day is about sensitizing us to, you know, think twice about our waste, but also things like plastic consumption, for instance, and think about the little things or the big things that we could do to reduce our consumption on plastics. But it doesn't end there.
Yep.
It goes ahead to also look at other stakeholders, such as the big corporations who are manufacturing these plastics, because, you know, when you walk into a supermarket, for instance, a lot of sodas and water is packed in plastic bottles. These are the delivery channels, and you as a consumer, you are forced to just, you know, pick and go. But if they were packaged in a different, you know, sustainable material, then it will be something else. So we are asking corporates and the big businesses to start thinking about refill and reuse models. So instead of, you know, packaging everything on plastics, why don't we think of a refillable option, such that, you know, if I have to go and get water, for instance, I can go with my bottle and get refilled. And if I'm walking in town, there should be, different station where you can go and refill your bottle as well.
I agree so much. I'm going to add on to your point by mentioning that when I was growing up in the 90s, in the States, there used to be ads, Camel ads for cigarettes. And the Camel looked so cool. He'd be partying on a beach, right? Mm-hmm. With all types of young people who looked like they were the cat's meow. And everybody has a cigarette in their hand, or they toss someone a cigarette and they start lighting up. And people realize how dangerous this was and how problematic it was. And in most parts of the world, omitting the states, you will find that on cigarette packs there are these very hideous pictures of what, you know, of what can happen, of the lung deterioration, of missing teeth, of you know, impotence, and so on and so forth. Ugly things that come about from, you know, habitual tobacco use. And it, the way you described the packaging of, you know, sodas and waters and all these kind of things and how we don't think about it, it's funny because we really don't. Even when we're trying to be the best that we could possibly be, because I like to think of myself as an environmentalist. And yet, you know, I have a big container, a big jug of water at home that dispenses water. And I wouldn't even think of it until perhaps packaging told me, or packaging changed, or I had another option. And then I'd be like, maybe actually that's not the best. You know what I'm saying? It would make you scratch your head. So I guess this is where things like Greenpeace Africa, International Zero Waste Day come in to really educate us. And as you, you know, a word that I love that you use, Helen, was sensitize us. You know, the fact that these things are actually really bad and they pollute and they become a big problem at the end of the day. Right now, I'm hooking you up with an exclusive with two fabulous women from Greenpeace Africa who are letting us know how we can save the world. Guys, we can be superheroes. This is like our chance. It's our chance to save posterity, like Optimus Prime and all those guys you like. So before we wrap up, I want to talk about, we've touched upon everything, it seems, but I really want to talk about where you both hope not only Greenpeace Africa will be, but also, you know, the International Day of Zero Waste. Like, what is your ideal for these two things in the future?
So looking at the future, what we would hope for is a planet that is free from waste. I know it might sound like, you know, it's far up there, but it's doable. It starts with small things. It starts with our little actions, you know. It starts with what we do in terms of in things like what packaging we use. If you go to the supermarket, do you carry your, you know, basket? Because our mothers used to do that. But apart from individual, you know, acts and responsibility, it also comes back to big corporates,
yes,
which we are asking them to reduce their plastic waste, to start looking for innovative ways, sustainable ways of packaging, refill and reuse models. And apart from that, also on the part of the government, we really need to have strong policies, which we already have. I mean, if you look at Africa in terms of even plastics, Africa is really at the forefront.
Kenya in particular, like, we banned plastic bags, right? Remember, Kenya. And that was like a big thing. And yeah,
Kenya, you know, the likes of Rwanda, we're really doing well. And I think we do not necessarily lack policies. What we lack is, you know, effective implementation.
Enforcement, yeah.
Yeah, there is a bit of a challenge there. And so we're asking that if we can look at enforcement, then we're looking at a time where a lot of our waste has been taken care of. And when we have this, you know, effective policies, and of course, enforcement has happened, then we will cap things like waste dumping from the West, because a lot of the times we also have that problem where the global North,
facts,
you know, keeps on dumping waste into Africa.
We kind of become their trash grounds.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
grossly
because
unfair,
our
yes.
policies also do allow that. So other than individual responsibility, I think on the government part, we really do appreciate the fact that there are these policies, but we just need to see more in terms of enforcement.
And it goes down to that global community thing that we keep touching upon. You're absolutely right, and I agree there. Dr. Ule, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, so just work with me. To follow up on what Helen has said, and of course, you know, you'll be able to have your own answer, but I'm curious to hear from you. You know, some people may shoot it down as like, well, that's a utopia. No waste, that's like saying there'll never be racism, because human beings are just going to human being and they're going to do this, that, and this. What is your retort to that?
I think just to echo what Helen has said, we need to sensitize people, because it's not just at the government level.
Right.
Of course, we'll have policies in place, but policies need implementation, and people are supposed to implement policies.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, we all have a role to play, government, people, but also these big companies who are dumping their plastics on Africa. We are not a dump
We're not a dumping site.
We are not. Yeah. We're not a dumpster. So we Africans need to be really sensitized on this issue. And, you know, you have things that you can recycle.
Yeah.
You don't have to just use plastic.
Yeah.
One use of you can use plastic.
Yeah.
But it can be recycled to do other things. And you can find better ways of protecting your environment, protecting those waterways that are blocked by this dumping of plastic in our rivers, for example, or our oceans. And so people need to be sensitized. I think this issue of sensitization of the population is really, really big, and we should work with our governments, with you know, civil society organizations, all key stakeholders to really be on board on just getting the message out there about the use of plastic and how dangerous it can be if we don't stop this phenomenon.
What's one thing that we can do to make others aware of International Day of Zero Waste?
I think what we can do is first, from our own acts, and we like calling them acts of courage at Greenpeace Africa, but also you can use your own, you know, networks to sensitize. So I'm sure, you know, sensitizing your close-knit family and, you know, speaking on social media. And for media personnel like you, I mean, you guys have big following and people who would always, you know, listen to what you're saying. So even using our own networks to be able to influence or sensitize other people. And I mean, it's the little things that we do that at the end of the day make up the big impact at the end of the day. And for us as Greenpeace Africa, if I may just maybe check.
You absolutely may, yeah.
We have staff members, but also we have a whole pool of volunteers. And these people are our representatives in the localities where they come from.
Mm.
And they work with people on the ground, because we may have maybe, you know, 10, 15 staff members, but that may not be enough to sensitize the whole of Kenya. But with these other people,
yeah,
the more we spread the word, the more we get other people to come on board as well. And the more we get to reach people that need to be sensitized on issues.
Yeah, and just to add on that, Capital FM is already doing it.
Yeah.
We're doing sensitization as we speak to you. So we appreciate you having us here today, because this is important. We need to continue to talk about our environment, the protection of the environment. It has nothing to do with anything else but our own behaviors. So we can start from just changing some of the things that we do.
It starts in small communities, and honestly, it creates a ripple effect, if done right, in a really beautiful way.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you both so much for being here this evening. It was really amazing having you. Dr. Ule Keita, the Executive Director of Greenpeace Africa, and Helen, correct me, Helen, it's Helen Diana.
Dana.
What's wrong with me? Why is that so hard for me? Dana. Like D-A-N-A?
Uh-huh.
Of communications and story manager of Greenpeace Africa. It was amazing having you ladies here, and I hope you come back soon.
Thank you.
And let us know. Yes, absolutely. Let us know about, you know, the waves you're making and about how we can help, because after all, you can't do it alone.
Yes.
Yeah. It's team effort. It's team effort, y'all.
Here we go. The culture, the music,
the
best mix of hip-hop
hit music.
On the
number one hit music
on 98.4 Capital FM.